Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Got Your Back, YEG. Live streaming on Twitter and on YouTube tonight, getting set to break down the Oilers' 3-2 win over the St. Louis Blues. Zach Hyman, 40 goals. What? Remember when they were ready to sign him, when we were talking about how he, 30-goal guy? It's not even March yet. He's at 40. Unreal. Jason Strudwick is standing by, and Rob Brown will be joining us here shortly. As always, the podcast brought to you by Sherwood Buick GMC. They're the number one volume GMC dealership in all of Canada for 6 years running. That is consistency. Purchase a new or used vehicle and mention the guys that Got Your Back sent you. Not only will you receive specialized pricing as a bonus, you'll also get 3 free ultimate detail packages on a new or on a used vehicle. Go see Phil and the crew in Sherwood Park, just off Baseline Road. www.gmcpod.com is where you can see all that they have to offer. Hustled home after the game, back to our long shot studio here in Sherwood Park. Remember, it's amazing golf, a fantastic sports bar experience as well. So visit longshotswithaz.ca. That's longshotswithaz.ca. Hi, Struds.
Greetings. Greetings, salutations. How are you doing tonight,
buddy? How's your day been? How you doing? How's your energy level tonight? How are we feeling?
Yeah, good. No, I'm not going to lie. After the first 5 minutes of that game, I was a little bit worried that this wouldn't be a very fun evening. And it stabilized pretty quick.
How hard is it? And we'll talk about this later. But bottom line, Struds, how hard is it to make sure you play good early in a game? Like It seems like a simple thing. I mean, if you and I were to say to each other, hey, let's make sure we have a really good first 5 minutes of our podcast, we could probably do that if we ever chose to. But there isn't another team working against us to try and make us have a shitty podcast. So that makes it a little bit harder. But how hard is it?
Well, I think there's two factors. You touched on it a bit. I thought the Blues had a great start. They came out absolutely spitting fire. They were flying, Thomas, Kyrou, Parayko, they all came out, they were ready to play. And the Oilers, I think, were just a half step behind them. Mm-hmm. And they were chasing it. Early, they were chasing it. They were able to stabilize, I thought, halfway through that first period. But the challenge is to bring your energy and be ready for your first shift. And I was told by a coach when I was young, the first shift should be your best shift. Now, obviously, I don't think that's exactly what he meant, but he wanted you to come out and be ready and just be ready to start. Because I always felt if I had a pretty good first shift, the game would be easier from that point out. If you're half step behind, it feels like you're chasing it. Now the Oilers are able to stabilize and turn that, but shocker, it was a tough start for the Oil.
It was weird, and it's funny because it's something that we know that they've been focused on. So it must be hard. It's not as simple as it seems. That we know. Remember, they were having crappy second periods before. They figured that out. And now they're having trouble with their first few minutes. But there's lots of positives to focus on tonight. And we're going to dig into a bunch of those, too, outside of that start that they admit that they didn't like. So Rob Brown will be joining us here shortly. He just finished the post-game show on 630 Chet along with Reed Wilkins. And Brownie will be home shortly. So he'll be joining us in person. We get to see his pretty face. And a big thanks to everybody that hopped into our YouTube and Twitter live feed. Got a healthy dose of people sitting there watching right now. And a reminder that in our Ask Us Anything segment, we want to hear from you. So if you want, label it Ask Us Anything and throw it into the chat. And Steve Taylor is working the controls behind the scenes, and he will gather some of those. And then we'll get interactive in our final segment of the podcast tonight. Let's get to our breakdown of tonight's game. It's brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They've got a number of drop-in ready diesel engines available for purchase if you're in need. installation or conversion as well. They also have a couple restored trucks for sale, a 2018 Peterbilt, a 2010 International ProStar, and a 2015 Volvo VNL. So if you're in the market, think about Adrenaline Diesel, 13019 151st Street, Northwest. Okay, Strutty, we touched on the start, and maybe we'll dig a little bit more into that a little bit afterwards. But I kind of want to fast forward to some key moments in this game. And when I think about this game, you know, Zach Hyman, obviously 40 goals, and we're going to get there. But a big part of turning this game around, I thought, were some really clutch plays, just a few critical moments where guys, a little bit of extra effort, a little bit of attention to detail, really gave them the chance to have it be the happy ending that it was.
Well, you never know what shift is going to be the difference maker for you or your team. And so you have to take every shift like it's really important. You know, I'm thinking of, well, unfortunately for the goalie, fortunately, I guess they played the whole game, but the save on Bulldog, I thought that was a huge save by Skinner. The blocker save was a massive one. And then quite honestly, I honestly think the play of the game though, was the back check by Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yeah.
If you go back and look at how the distance he traveled to catch Thomas, who is a pretty fast skater. He's a great player, by the way. God, I love watching that kid. I remember when they won the Stanley Cup. He was a huge part, but he was a part of that win. He wasn't just a bit part. But that was a huge moment to come back and to catch that. And the reaction you could tell from his goalies, like, thank you. You know, I didn't have to make a save there. So I honestly believe that was a turning point of the night. That includes the game-winning goal and the two by Hyman.
And that's kind of why I wanted to start there, because the goals are obvious and the McDavid thing is obvious and we're going to get there. But there's these tiny little moments in games. And they're usually the moments that in the movies they make speeches about, right? I think about Al Pacino talking about, you know, every little inch and tiny little moments. And it feels like tonight the Oilers had a few of those that were real difference makers. Darnell Nurse even, I think, had a nice breakup. Did he slide on that? Was that a Strutty special? Did he break something up there?
I you know what? It's ironic. He had a bit of a 2-on-1 and the D-men slid on him.
Yeah,
there you go. He had nothing he could do. So that was a really well-timed slide for sure.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to address this right now because I knew it was going to come up on the podcast. KMoose82 says, is the rumors of locker room trouble between Kane and Dry have any truth? And could it derail a deep playoff run? Listen, sometimes what happens in our industry is we do a podcast. You know, we talk about a topic. Rob Brown made a couple of points about Evander Kane not having great chemistry on ice with Leon Draisaitl. About he saw them have an animated discussion on the bench at one point, and about how Kane at times through the words that he said and his body language gives the indication he doesn't love, you know, when his minutes get cut down. There was a site that decided to take that conversation, drum up a ridiculously, embarrassingly stupid headline, and it caught fire and spread all over Oiler Nation. What I would say to people is pay attention to what you're consuming and where it's coming from. There's a lot of absolute crap out there, and that was an unbelievable crap job of taking an intelligent conversation, I think, and turning it into something just completely ridiculous. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight. I knew it was going to come up. Was a garbage article, a garbage headline. It was a joke, not at all what we were saying on this podcast. And so we're going to move on from that. Brownie, you ready to go? He's not quite ready yet, Steve. Sorry, I can see him off air here, but he's scrambling to get his camera going. And let's get to Zach Hyman here, Struds. Brownie will hop in just a second. I mean, 40 goals. It's not even March yet, and the guy's got 40 goals. It's insane. You know, under $6 million, the fact that he's producing at this level, it's the perfect complementary player that he's molded himself into for Connor McDavid.
Chris Kunitz, that's who he reminds me of. I think when you look back on players that have he's a really hardworking player. And Kunitz, when he joined Crosby, he hit numbers that he hadn't had before either, playing alongside Sid. So he's understanding how he has to play and how to support Connor. And, you know, I thought his comments post-game were really interesting. He talked about it's not easy, but it's not hard either. It's not easy, but it is hard. Like, at the same time, you're trying to find a way to support him, understand how he likes to play. But most importantly, what Connor McDavid said is that he likes to go to the net, and then Connor, I can fly around. And that is, you know, such a good moment for that, because it creates space and then gives Connor, he finds a little a pass, boom, he makes that play, and the big guy's there to tap it in.
Hi, Brownie.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Anything happen while I was gone?
No. Brownie, did you come from a poetry reading? Why are you wearing that mock neck and the glass? Like, is that a beatnik hat?
No, it's a ball cap.
Okay, no, I thought maybe you'd gone to a poetry reading of.
Well, we do. Like, I don't know if you listen to our post game show. We do have an open mic poet thing. Like, sometimes when there's nothing to talk about reading, I start reading poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, tonight we were talking about bats. So
I heard you. I heard you, goofballs. I'm driving. Oh, you're talking about when a player scores 6 goals, they call it a bat trick and release bats out into the arena. Like, you guys are, you know, at that, that's deep into the show where you guys are
stretching. We are stretching. How do we get to 10:30? Talking about Hyman, though, could it happen to a better person? And it's funny, Stuart Skinner after the game talked about, you know, Hyman's doing all this, and he's the best player you've ever played with. He's the best teammate. He's always happy. He's a good mood. We had someone send an email today is, could part of the success that Hyman has just be from the attitude he has? Just a positive attitude. And I do believe that, combined with skill, combined with a work ethic.
Connor Brown's a pretty positive guy, Brownie. If you've ever talked to Connor Brown,
well, there's the hard work and the talent as well. Hyman appreciates where he is. He's playing with Connor McDavid, the best in the world. He has added pressure, and he talked about that in his post-game interview. When you're playing with the best in the world, well, your line better be the best in the world. So you better produce when you're given the opportunities. But he goes to the right spots. He's got fantastic hands. And the one thing that he helps Connor with, he keeps plays alive in the offensive zone. He hunts down pucks. He creates turnovers. And when there's a turnover and you're giving Connor McDavid a second chance on the offensive end, it usually spells trouble for the opposition. So Zach Hyman is the perfect complement for Connor McDavid.
Struds, there's the skills around the net that we see, and he's so smart there. You know, a little push off the D to create a little bit of space, right? Just the way he'll very subtly turn his body here or there. Like, he makes these plays that are just so intuitive to what's to come. But there are other areas of the ice where he's next level too. And I think about the plays he makes to get it off the wall, to take it to the middle of the ice. He doesn't have the best hands, but he's just so good at protection. Like, there are so many little areas of the game, in particular in the offensive zone, that whether it's tenacity, smarts, whatever, he's got this combination that creates a skill set where he just is able to just make things happen in the offensive zone through this unique set of skills that he's got.
Well, let's first talk about the job in front. This morning, the first goal was the perfect example of him boxing a D-man out. And, you know, I can't say it ever happened to me, but I saw my teammates it happened to, where you establish position, you make yourself really big, and you establish yourself position. You get inside position. So you're now between your D-man and the goalie. And once you get that position, it's pretty, you know, all you have to do is feed the puck to the guy and you're going to get a chance. The other guy, it's hard to get in that. You have to work hard to get there, but he gets there and he's always around the blue paint. So that's what makes him special. As far as on the wall, he keeps digging and he keeps plays alive. So, you know, we've seen many times where, maybe just entering the blue line, he keeps fighting for a puck and he doesn't maybe lose the battle at that time, but he keeps the battle going alive long enough and keeps it alive long enough that he can now get the puck and then make a little play to the middle or feed Connor, whose timing as he comes through. So a lot of times it's not about, you know, winning it right away, but he keeps the battle going long enough, extends that battle, and then it makes the D-man maybe, you know, cough it up or someone else can come get it. And that's, I know, as the D-man, I hated when guys were relentless on me. I'd rather they just kind of swing, one swing, oh, you didn't get it, okay, now he can pass and move it along.
His puck protection is as good as anyone in the National Hockey League. You don't take the puck away from him. It's like Connor and Leon, you don't take the puck from them. Hyman's the same thing. He uses his body. He turns his body into an area where you've got to go around him. I've never seen him up close, but he seems like he's a wide-bodied man. So if you're on the wrong side of him, you've got to go around the sun to get to him. And that's, as you said, that's what he does in front of the net, what Struds was talking about. He set up position. Now he's strong too. So it's one thing to set up position, but when you got a big defenseman leaning on you or pushing you or cross-checking you, he can absorb that. And Shog, you say he doesn't have great hands. His hands are fantastic in the blue paint. The play that he made to bring from forehand to backhand upstairs over the pad. That was a tough play on the first goal. And the second goal, we see a lot of guys, it looks easy when Connor goes back door to you, but he has to deflect the puck enough that it gets over the pad, underneath the glove, going forward while you're trying to time it as it's coming across, usually through skates or a stick. Again, I don't know if there's anyone, like Leon's had success with Connor, but I still think Hyman is the perfect player to play with Connor McDavid. And it's a couple years away, but they got the Four Nations things next year. Zach Hyman is on any Team Canada team that you have right now. He is that good. And not only is he on the team, he's on your first line.
Yeah. Oh, Brownie, I made that point. I think who he is, he's a modern day Chris Kunitz. Mm-hmm. When Kunitz played with Crosby, he reminds me so much of him. I think Kunitz was maybe a lefty, but same idea. He knows how to play with elite players.
And where was Kunitz in the Olympics playing with Sidney Crosby? No,
it's history repeating itself.
Yeah. Let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox. Until March 1st, you can save 20% on a variety of scratch and dent furnace units, despite minor cosmetic imperfections like Struds and Brownie. These models operate with full efficiency, ensuring you warm comfort without burning a hole in your pocket. Stop in at 5803 Roper Road in Edmonton to see the units that they have available. Jingle. Weiss Johnson, whoa. Zach Hyman on why his goal totals just keep seeming to ratchet up every year in Edmonton.
You know, I don't really think about that. I just think about going and playing my game, and I think that's kind of why I've had some success with really good players, is I just go out there and play and trust, you know, that whatever I'm doing is going to help complement them. And that's why, you know, I was in that position. So, it's fun.
We got into a spirited debate the other night, guys, about Connor McDavid and shooting the puck. He gave that great quote earlier in the day about how he's not even going to shoot the puck anymore, right? He just wants to see how many assists he can get. Rob Brown believes we have no place, Strutty, you and I, on our 9 NHL goals combined, ever questioning whether McDavid should shoot a puck or not instead of passing. Brownie, are you going to tell me there was not one time tonight where you went, I probably could have shot that one?
Pardon me?
No, I don't. I just honestly know. I honestly know. I trust Connor McDavid.
We lose
Connor McDavid knows more than anybody in the stands, anybody in the press box, any of us on the podcast. Connor McDavid's got the highest IQ in the National Hockey League. If he's got the puck, he knows when he can shoot and when he can pass. And I liked his comment that he said tonight, though.
Yeah, we got it.
You shot that one. Did you play it yet?
We got it. Yeah. So I think it was Downey Nugent Bowman. I was like, so you finally decided to shoot, or you decided to shoot it. I thought you weren't going to do that. Here's McDavid.
You did decide to score, eh?
There was no one to pass to. I thought Hines would be on the backside, but quit on the play, I guess. So.
I love how good-natured he's been about it, right? Like, we've asked McDavid about different parts of his game in the past, and, you know, skilled players don't love that, right? He produces as well as anybody on the planet, but he's humoring these questions. The rate, Strutty, that he's piling up these assists, though, it does seem a little goofy to question anything at all. It's nuts, the number of assists and the level of contribution and how often he's finding guys. Like, it really is something special. And I asked him a little bit about it tonight. Here he is talking about this assist prowess that has come on, you know, even more so here recently.
You've been putting up assists at a pretty crazy pace here. Do you maybe get into phases where you just kind of see it a little bit different, or you're sensing things a little different? Or how would you describe kind of this zone you've been in assist-wise?
You know what? I'm always trying to make plays and to set guys up. And you know, obviously, right now it seems like it's been more than obviously scoring. You know, goals have been hard to come by. I don't know if there's a zone or anything. I'm always trying to produce any way I can. I'm not trying to not score goals. It's just been the pass has been there, and I've been maybe making too many passes here and there. But you know, they've been going in.
Maybe making too many passes here and there, he said.
What did he say? Sorry, I think I lost that again.
Struts.
But I'm going to disagree with my friend here, John Keats or William Shakespeare, the poet who's joined us tonight. I know. So he just said he's maybe passing a bit too much. So he admitted it. So I think
he's saying that to appease all you fools that are questioning him.
No.
Like, seriously, I'll say this. He's on pace right now. If this last little stretch, he's on pace for a 200 point season with just assists.
Yeah.
He's the greatest player in the world. I trust him more than I trust the three of us when he has the puck on his stick.
So let's fast forward. And I made this point last time and I'm going to stick to it. And I'll walk away. When you get to the playoffs, you can't be looking off shots. Those passes probably won't be
there. Connor McDavid can look off anything he wants because he knows more than us.
All right.
100%.
Let's remember this February 28th on the eve of leap year when they can't get shots to the net or not.
You're saying they. I'm saying one man. Yeah. Connor McDavid can decide what he does when the puck's on his stick. Not Fogel.
We'll leave it there.
Not Hyman. Not Nugent leap Hopkins. Year. Connor McDavid.
Connor 15th. McDavid. Is it this?
I will say this right now that Connor McDavid has a little more offensive upside than Jason Strudwick, Ryan Rashog, and Rob Brown. And if Connor McDavid sees in a slot, last game, you were complaining last game, he passed to Zach Hyman, who is the Oilers' leading goal scorer.
Right.
He's the hottest Oiler at goal scorer right now, and he gave him a wide open net.
Right.
To me, that seems like the better play than shooting.
Oh, all right. We'll revisit this May 15th.
Struds, you and I were all in on this last podcast with Brownie, and I'm not bailing on you. Like, I'm not completely bailing on you, but I do have to say, I love the fact that McDavid is in good humor about it. I love the fact that he's just continuing to pass off and make unreal passes from unbelievable shooting positions, but he's just doing it because he can, and he's rattling up these assists. 72 he's at already. It's pretty nuts. So the whole thing, to me, the whole thing's pretty fun. He's producing, and that's what matters. He's creating plays that are creating offense, and it's a fun debate, and we're having some fun with it. Let's talk about the overtime winner, Struds, Mattias Ekholm. That's as much puck possession as he's had maybe in the last four games combined.
He couldn't wait to get rid of that puck. He was tired, but so was Connor. They were both bagged, absolutely bagged. I thought Connor was going to change, and he changed his mind because, you know, Ekholm passed to him. And then they were like, it looked like they both wanted the other guy to take the puck to change. And then finally, Connor's like, screw it. Just give it to me. I'll go score and we'll get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that I think it was Ekholm, the one that gave it away, and he surprised the Blues. And they're like, what's there? And then Connor went and got the puck back. And Ekholm said, he talked about it. I was exhausted. Connor was too, but the one thing that teams do when they get the puck in the offensive zone where they bring it out to center, and Connor does it and Leon does it a lot. So when Connor got the puck, he's coming up ice. He's got all three St. Louis Blues in bad gap because they can't come out that high. And as he's coming, he also can pick which side the defenseman's on. Colton Parayko was one of the best shutdown defensemen in the National Hockey League. Guess what? Connor went to the other side where there's a forward standing. So first he went around Robert Thomas, who was standing still. Then it's Jordan Kyrou. Kyrou's a fantastic young player, but he can't stop Connor McDavid coming down with gap or without. So Connor just went right at those two forwards, game wide, and then put the puck on net. And because he's coming with speed, Binnington follows his speed, and Binnington lost his angle by 2 inches. And a great player like Connor McDavid only needs 2 inches. And it wasn't a hard shot, but he put it in an area where Binnington was falling away from. Hits him, hits the post, goes in the net. But it's it was one of those Connors like, you know what? Nothing really going on here in overtime. Let's see if I can make something out of nothing. And he did.
All right. Time now for the You Can You Services Relentless Player of the Night. It's a local charity that helps vulnerable youth find employment. Their 14th annual Comedy Nights fundraiser is ready to roll here in March. They got 6 shows, tons of laughs, and a great way to support helping the youth right here in our community. They've still got tickets available. YouCanComedy.ca. Mention that Got Your Back sent you, and you'll get 20% off. Highly recommend it. Grab some buddies, grab the wife, the girlfriend, whoever, come out. They have excellent stand-up comedians. They tell some great stories. We're going to be there on the 20th, and can't encourage you enough to check out the You Can Comedy Night. Struddy, who gets the nod tonight, bud?
Easiest pick of the year. Nugent Hopkins for that back check on Robert Thomas. Like that, to me, that's the play of the game. Absolutely the play of the game. Just that's completely relentless. He flew back to catch old Robbie T.
Well, no, it's funny on that. When we teach at Academy, Struds and I, and we teach two-on-ones or breakaways, the first thing I always tell the players, when you get a two-on-one or a breakaway, the first thing you do every time, shoulder check to see how much time you have. Take a look back to see, okay, how much time can I make a play with? Robert Thomas didn't. Now, I give Nugent Hopkins full credit. He went full speed the whole time because most forwards or back checkers will slow down at some point because you think you haven't got there. But Robert Thomas, he slowed down. He started stick handling, had the move in his head. And Nugent Hopkins, not only did he get back in time, he like just took the puck right off his stick and went back the other way. So that I agree, Struts. That's the game. If the St. Louis Blues score there, they're up. Binnington was fantastic all night long. And now all the pressure's back on the Oilers. Nugent Hopkins with the play of the game.
Was that after he got blown up on that hit there? He was mad after that. Remember he took that big hit, guys. I was worried maybe something was up with the shoulder. I think it was
right
after
by the
that,
penalty box.
It?
Yeah, right by the penalty box. Yeah, he got hit hard. Stayed down for a sec. Because that was actually, it was after because that was on the power play. Because the high stick on Kane happened just before he got blown up. So they went on the power play after the hit. So, yeah, it was after the hit that he did that.
Yeah, and the stream completely agrees, Strutty. Tons of love for your choice of Ryan Nugent Hopkins for the UCAN. Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night. It wasn't all perfect tonight. In our takeaway segment, we'll pick apart another tough start. Yeah, some defensive lapses here and there. Maybe talk a little trade stuff as well. Tons more remaining on the show, so stick around. Quick break. Say goodbye to unruly hair and hello to a smooth and silky back in minutes with Backscape. Shave your back solo with no mess with Backscape's water-resistant long handle and patented six-blade design, leaving you with a no-mess shaving experience all in less than 5 minutes. Shop now for 40% off select kits just for you, our Got Your Back listeners. Use promo code GYBPOD on checkouts and make 2024 your year to elevate your grooming routine. The Edmonton Sport and Social Club's spring season is set to go in May, and registration is just around the corner. Team up with your pals to play in slow pitch, beach volleyball, outdoor soccer, ultimate frisbee, and even cornhole leagues to keep the spring months full of excitement. Spring leagues begin in May. Registration opens on February 8th. Visit EdmontonSportsClub.com for more details.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Time now for takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Clear the way with a Can-Am Pro-Mount steel plow on the front of your quad. It's the perfect partner for snow removal this winter. Contact the crew at Martin Motorsports, South or West Edmonton, to get a plow today. Chris from Martin Motorsports was chatting with him the other day, Struds. He wanted to remind us of all of the snow removal equipment that Martin Motorsports has. While he respects and appreciates how much care and attention we take when it comes to shoveling, not entirely necessary. They have the technology to help us, Struds. So maybe we'll stop by there and see what they have to offer. But there's no reason for us and our old backs to be strained like that. Chris and Martin Motorsports can hook us up.
Don't talk about my old back. You have an old back. I look after mine. I'm healthy. I don't live on the elliptical like you do, just thrashing my back every day.
Is the elliptical hard on it? Do you think that's part of the problem?
I think the problem is that you're using elliptical. I think that's the problem.
Yeah. That's like I'm kind of an extreme athlete. The elliptical is pretty intense.
That's like Brownie doing tricep extensions at 72 years old and not stretching. Like that makes, I still can't even believe that. I know.
Don't stretch. Never.
Why are you doing tricep extensions? Your arms are never big.
I've got it even sense. The biceps and the triceps.
Oh, I've seen more bulge on a spaghetti.
More bulge on a spaghetti. Okay, Struds, you wanted to talk about Dylan Holloway. You shot me a note. Interesting little stretch here for Holloway, right? And the way he's being deployed. Clearly a head coach that's wanting to get him involved. And he's showing little spurts in some spots here.
Let's find out what he can do. You know, let's find out. So today he started on the third line, and then he jumped up. He was elevated for I'm not sure what reason with Kane and Nugent Hopkins. And I thought they had multiple good shifts together, like two, three good shifts together. Mm-hmm. And then he was brought back. Now, you guys might have seen a reason why he was on and off that line. But
I asked the same thing. I was like, why did they switch that again?
And it was effective line. It was really effective. Now, he played 10th most minutes of the forward. So that means in English, he was the third lowest. So that is, you know, it's not ideal that that's what he's doing. So he was at, I think he was at 10 minutes, 10:30 or something like that. So at least he's over that 10 minute mark. I believe I would put him right back there with Nuge and Kane. It looked to me like those three had chemistry. They were in the offensive zone. He had speed. He had some playmaking to that group, a big body. So, you know, he's getting a couple of traction, then they kind of pull him off. So I'd be interested to know why they pull him off when he was getting traction. Find out what he can do, guys.
Two things on this. First of all, Shoggy, look at that. Shreds thinks that our guy Holloway should play top 4 minutes or top 6 minutes.
With
the pressure of being a young kid, and he still thinks that. Now.
I think I made the call that Holloway would be a top 6 forward by the end of January. So it's about a he's not yet.
Yeah.
But he's getting a look. He's getting some sniffs.
So here's what I think they're doing, Strides, is I think at the end of every game, the coaching staff is looking at the stats. And they're seeing, okay, Holloway tonight, 7 minutes. Holloway tonight, 6.5. Holloway tonight, 8. Holloway doesn't play power play. Holloway doesn't play penalty killing. How do we get him a few more minutes? So what I think they're doing, once a period today, they put Holloway up on the second line. Each period he got to do it once. So right there, that's almost 3 more minutes of ice time, and that's why he's over 10. So I think they're trying to find more minutes for him without giving him carte blanche of being in the top 6. So my guess. Just because they can't, like, Derek Ryan's going to find penalty killing time. Perry's going to find second power play unit time. Guys that are down on your bottom 6. Holloway doesn't get those. So I think they're trying to find ways to get him more involved. And I agree with Strides. I thought he was excellent. Actually, I found him excellent in every game. I don't think you ever lose anything when he's on the ice. He's like an Evander Kane, just less mean. He's physical. He drives the net. He makes plays. And I do believe he's got great upside. So I'd love to see more minutes out of him as well.
Hontorio Momes points out that after the game, right, the Oilers give away their little awards, and that Holloway got the artist brush and the hat. And I thought you had a great night too, Brownie, because they gave you some artist's clothing as well. But fitting that Holloway got that. I like where his game is at right now. I like the fact that he kind of goes out there. Doesn't matter the score. Doesn't matter the situation. He's kind of always the same, Struds. He just skates hard. He gets in on the forecheck. He tries hard. He works and works. Doesn't turn away from checks. Like, I really like the energy that he's bringing, and I agree with you. Time to see what they've got. They've been basically holding open auditions in the top 6. Like, anybody that shows a heartbeat gets time in the top 6. Probably time to just give him a look.
Yeah.
Give him a look and let it breathe a little bit.
Well, I'm going to say this. When he's showing well, I think you keep doing it. And then, Brownie, you might be right about that idea of that, you know, they don't want to, you know, put too much pressure, or they want to find us some extra minutes. But when I look at it, when I saw those three guys out there, I thought they were excellent from the top of the circles down. And I value that type of game. Kane in front of the net, working the corners. Holloway doing the same thing. Nuge just kind of doing what he does, being smart all over the ice. It was a functioning and effective line. And I really think that if you're not sure about who is in that spot and someone shows you something in the game, maybe he's only going to go for that game. Let him play it out. Let him play it for that game. Then he can do the same thing again. Start him the second period, the next game.
We have an imposter on the stream, Matthias Janmark. It's got the picture and everything. He's in on the YouTube stream. Steve, you seeing this guy?
Yeah, hilarious. He said, at least I fight.
No apologies. He says, why does the media love Connor Brown so much? Tell me there's not one PK specialist out there with one goal that won't cost $4 million next season. Brownie, where are you? That's from Matthias. Yeah, that's from a teammate. Talk about dissension in the room. Okay, let's not blow that up and make some ridiculous article out of that. I kid everybody. Brownie, where are you at on Connor Brown and this no goals thing and this?
I don't know. Tonight he didn't really create a whole lot offensively. There have been games where you're like, oh, this could be the moment. There was no out of your seat moments tonight for him. The Oilers are going to try to upgrade at the deadline. casualties of the upgrades. If they find two forwards, it would be Brown and Derek Ryan, or Brown and Dylan Holloway. Those are going to be the casualties if they go and find a couple upgrades. So I think that they know what they get from Connor Brown. He's a nice penalty killer. He's got a good work ethic, but literally no offense from him. So if there's two forwards coming in at the deadline, he's a casualty. If there's one forward coming at the deadline, he might be a casualty as well.
Struds?
Yeah, he's had more offensive nights than tonight. It was pretty muted tonight. I don't think he had a shot that I remember.
But... Well, he had one where he came down the wing and he got it off and it kind of like fluttered just like that much. So it's like, yeah, that one wasn't going in for him.
Yeah, it's the challenge. The reality is if he was only making 750, you're like, this is great. Mm-hmm. But there's 3 point whatever tagged onto the cap next year. And that's what really hurts. So this was a misfire. The signing, I still hold out hope that he can find something and get going, because it'd be like it found gold, and maybe a different center or different line mates. And that's not to say that Derek Ryan or whomever hasn't worked well, but sometimes, you know, maybe a different look. But this is a tough one. This is a tough look for Kenny Holland.
Well, he had Connor and he had Leon as centers too. So it's not just Derek Ryan that's not getting on.
Yeah, and that's it. I'm not indicted. It's on him too, right? To get some create. But like I said, it's the salary cap, the number that really hurts Sugar.
Yeah, I mean, it's been at zeros here for the whole season, which to me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe my expectations are too high, but when you're stuck at that and you're a guy that scored goals in the league before, I mean, he has other skills. I don't see him killing himself constantly out there, reflective of the fact that he hasn't scored a goal yet. And it's just ridiculous that this player hasn't scored yet. He's been a good player in the league, but like, I don't know. It feels to me like it should be over the top constantly in an effort to get there. Crazy going to the net, crazy finishing checks, relentless energy, like how he has not been given relentless player of the game yet for what appears to be him moving heaven and earth to make something happen. Is he just that limited now, Struds, that he can't? Or is he not really seeming to be doing it?
Well, I mean, his minutes are reflective, right? He's not, I mean, what was he 7 minutes tonight? Am I wrong? Sorry, eight and a half. So I've played that. It's hard to get a lot done in that time. Although he's getting close to 10, but still it's not that much.
Doesn't take much to earn more ice time in this forward group. You know what I mean? Like you show a heartbeat on the third line immediately.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit unfair. I think that's a...
Really?
What was the third line tonight? It was Holloway,
McLeod, Fogle, and Perry.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
or sorry, Corey, Perry, or was Perry tonight?
Perry, McLeod, and Holloway.
Perry was ripe to be overtaken in the lineup tonight, right? Didn't really notice Corey tonight.
No, yeah. Right. I didn't notice him.
You understand what I'm saying, though, Struds? The bar is not high to elevate yourself, and he's not pushing the bar.
Yeah. He's had some moments, right? I think they've all had some moments in the bottom six, but I had way higher expectations for sure. And that's why. At some point, it's got to unlock, right? I just can't imagine it go through the year limited to this kind of offense. It just blows me away.
What was the chaos at the beginning of the game there? I mean, Draisaitl with the penalty kill gets lit up immediately. And then Struds, being the defensive stalwart that you are, I'll let you try and decode what the heck 25 and 5 were up to on that D-zone coverage. They both chase one guy and leave the front of the net open.
Yeah, so we'll start with that one. Thanks for breaking that one down for me. That was my moment to shine. But basically, you know, when you're dealing with that, it's called duplication. Two guys jump into the same guy, right? He's not the guy scoring behind that. It's the guy in front.
You just made that up right now, didn't you? To sound smart. Did you make that up, that duplication thing?
That's technical jargon along with puck luck and backtracking. So those are my three favorite. And then for the penalty kill, you know, I think that, you know, that was such a short one, but what I saw, and guys are, they're swinging. So now the penalty kill, you have to go and start and stop everywhere you go. And I thought that they were swinging a little bit, especially kind of on the backside of that. So if your puck goes from one side to the other, you got to stop and quickly get back to the front. Maybe Darnell could have held the line a little bit stronger on Thomas, but that was a pretty good shot, Brownie, Thomas made.
Oh, That was a great shot. But the Oilers are a much more aggressive penalty killing unit now, and they try to force it to one side and then they all attack. If you're able to make a good play, it's a great play. Someone's going to be wide open, and it's always going to be the offside player. They made a great play, and all of a sudden, Darnell's, he's in trouble because you got Thomas walking in. If he shoots out at Thomas, Thomas passes the puck down, that guy's by himself, and everyone's yelling, I can't believe Nurse left in front of the net. Thomas, it was a great shot. Thomas used Nurse as a screen. He found the far side. Thomas is a good hockey player. A very, very really good hockey player. Mm-hmm. And, but, it, I mean, you talk about chaos, Shoggy, and there was the penalty. There was the penalty kill. But in the first 8 minutes, the Oilers passed pucks to people that weren't there about seven times.
Yeah.
Like, they, it was on their one, Vinny Desharnais, who I thought had a pretty good game. At one point, he passed the puck to his position. And, like, there was no one there. It's like, hey, Vinny, I'm supposed to be there, so I'm going to pass it. Yeah. Like, it was just, it was like they'd never played hockey before. And then St. Louis gets the 2-0 lead, and all of a sudden, light switch. All right, here we go. It's almost like St. Louis got the lead too early. It's, you woke the team up with 55 minutes to go in the hockey game. Yeah. You should have let it, let them sleep a little long, get the second goal late in the period. But once the Oilers woke up, then they started pushing the pace. That was an entertaining hockey game. There was filled with mistakes, filled with great plays, and filled with fantastic goaltending. That was a fun game to watch.
Black Havoc 14 says, LOL, Strudwick's sarcasm is killing it. Got your back, should have him as a regular on the podcast. So
thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for tuning in.
Is that sarcastic enough?
Omar chimes in with a crazy stat of the day. Jacob Markstrom and Connor Brown have the same amount of points. Let that sink in.
Well, Shoggy, is there not a goalie that has a goal this year?
Someone scored, didn't they?
Didn't an NHL goalie score this year? So there's an NHL goaltender with one more goal than Connor Brown this year.
You know what, I'll say this, like I would feel sick for that guy. I went through a year without scoring, and he would feel like a bag of turds. Like, you're not scoring, you're not producing, you came in here to help, and you know his contract next year is not going to be close to probably what he imagined or any of us imagined.
No.
After this year here, playing beside Connor Leon, like his career is not going in the right direction. I, as a teammate, I'd feel sick. It's one thing if CeCe hasn't scored for a year, like that's not really his job. Connor Brown feels like he is a goal scorer. And, you know, he's had chances, no doubt, and good chances, but Connor just hasn't gone in. Like,
well, you throw it out, like he's playing on the fourth line. Connor Brown was brought in to play with Connor McDavid.
100%.
So they thought they solved the top six 100%, when they went and got Connor Brown. So that, you're right, 100%. He would be, I would have a hard time going home each night, not feeling sick to my stomach, just the way the thing's gone for him.
Is that a dry erase you have in your hand?
Yeah, it is. I got a picture of Struds here, and I just keep making funny faces on it.
You're right.
Rob Brown's appearance on the podcast brought to you by Kinprint, local company, family owned, decades of experience filling any and all of your promotional apparel and embroidery needs. There you see the hat, Brownie. Yep. By the way, folks, we do have hats for sale now online, but be patient with us because we got to get them into production and it's going to take just a little bit. So it might take a few weeks, but if you go to gybpod.com and then you click up on the right side, GYB merch, you'll see some options. You can fire us an email and we'll try and get some hat sales going. And by the way, we're going to give away a hat again, coming up a little bit later on in the show. Struds, are we going mainstream or are we going off the rails for Struddy's World tonight?
You guys choose. I've got elite subjects for both. Which one do you guys
want? Do you really?
Okay, Brownie,
what do you want to do?
Or serious?
Goofy or we want to go serious stuff tonight?
Is there any way we can bring in someone else?
Why would you trade greatness, right? That's like Connor McDavid. You don't tell Connor McDavid Strudy, when to shoot.
I'm going to let Struddy decide it. Because when you've got a great one, they know what is the best decision at all times.
I am the boss of the pod, though. I control the tone. I control the mood. I control – it's my call to make. And I would say, given the mood on the stream and what this podcast looks and feels like right now, I think we need to lighten it up a little bit. So we've had a tough few days, the three of us. We've been arguing a lot. Let's have some fun. Struddy's World with a new sponsor, by the way. Can't wait to introduce you coming up after the break. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention is at RedefinedHealth.com. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
Good stuff coming in on the stream here. Double A goes, oh God, in anticipation of what we're about to see. 49 says, how cute. Shoggy thinks he's in control. Steve Taylor had a pretty good chirp there during the break too. So we were challenging Struds on his Struddy's World, and he goes, hey, you don't tell Picasso how to paint. Steve Taylor goes, but you're telling me David how to score goals. It's just a pretty solid chirp behind the scenes. Struddy's World brought to you by our newest addition to the Got Your Back family, Brinley Shipwreck Rum. If you haven't had the experience of this amazing flavored rum blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, do yourself a favor and go grab a bottle today. The Brindley family's been crafting Shipwreck in small batches for decades now. Spiced, aged 4 years in bourbon barrels, infused with natural vanilla. Get Shipwrecked, fans, available at your local liquor retailer. And as always, please enjoy responsibly. I told my buddy Grant, who is an aficionado of the spirits, that Shipwreck was coming on board. He goes, the rum? I go, yeah. He goes, try the mango. You have to try the mango. So they've got a wide range of all these different flavored rums, guys. And I'm so excited. We're going to have a sampling party. But high quality stuff, Struddy. You tried some the other night, bud.
I loved it. I had the coconut cream. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Working my way through the bottle.
Welcome, Shipwreck Rum, to Got Your Back. Struddy, take us on a journey, my friend.
It's been years. It's been years that I've been living a lie. I would go to parties and go along when I was younger, you know, a pizza party. Maybe I'd go get a Slurpee and I'd get the same thing, trying to look cool in front of my friends. I finally came to the conclusion, though, the other day, I can't live this lie anymore. I've got to be true to myself. I hate root beer. I don't like it. I don't like it anymore. I don't want to have it anymore. I've been lying to my kids. They tell me they like root beer. We go get pizza. They want root beer. I don't want your hires. I don't want your other beer. I don't want to eat it. I cannot stand it. I don't want to take root beer anymore. I'll drink it if I put something in it, like rum or whatever, but that's a little different thing. But guys, I am now officially out of the root beer sweepstakes. I won't be consuming it anymore. The rest of the next 40 years, let's say, in my life, I'm out, man. No more root beer for Uncle Struddy.
Interesting.
I'm not sure you got 40 years left in your stress. Okay, let's be honest with that one.
But have you seen my heart rate? I barely use heart rates every day. I might live to over 100.
I can't stand root beer. But then again, I have not had.
What's with you guys?
I haven't had Black Pop, Coke, or root beer since I was 18 years old. I've not had a Coke or a Pepsi or a root beer since I was 18. So I don't like any of those dark pops.
Yeah. What do you drink? You're probably a Fresca guy.
Well, actually, I don't drink pop at all. But if I'm having a vodka, I will have my vodka with 7 Up. If I'm going to have rum, I'm going to have that with something fruity because I like my fruity rum drinks.
Oh, hey.
So, but I don't drink pop. So yeah. So root. But when I did drink root beer when I was 7, I was not a fan of root beer either.
So, and I don't drink a ton of pop either, but I actually had root beer at dinner tonight. I had root beer tonight with the media meal at the rink because they've got the fountain pop, right? And I was like, oh, I just feeling like I need a little bit of sugar. So I had some for dinner tonight, Struds. It's so refreshing. It's so good. It's so different. I'm a huge fan. Best popsicle, one of the better pops, has to be ice cold. And you're getting crushed on the stream here. You are getting crushed. That's sacrilegious, says Black Havoc. Go to hell, Struds. Root beer is delicious. You got to straight up go to hell from Double A. Like straight up angry at you.
Not anger. Well, listen, he can continue to live the lie that is root beer. Listen, I will mix it. I like rum and put in root beer. Like pretty much put a lot of drinks in root beer. But drinking on its own, it's much like the banana bread. It cannot be in on its own. It has to have something else in it.
Chocolate chips. Got to have chocolate chips in it. Yeah, 100%. Oh, for sure. Banana have banana bread without chocolate chips and lots of butter on it. 100%.
That's it. On its
root
own.
Root beer floats are amazing, says Chris R. So he disagrees with you as well.
No, hold on. So root beer floats has something else in it. So we're not talking about floats. I'm talking about a naked glass of root beer. That's it. Can't do it. So people got to be careful. You got to qualify your answers.
I wonder if there's probably something you can do with a shipwreck rum and some root beer. So we'll have to take, if you go to their website, they've got some pretty good recipes on there. We'll find something for you, Struddy.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So the folks at Brindley's who are going to tune in to see this and be like, oh, what's this? Apparently there's this amazing analyst who we've sponsored who gives great analysis. And
yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I love their rum too. I had a little bit before the show.
Try the mango and enjoy responsibly as always. Brownie, time for us to let you go, bud. I know you got to put the finishing touches on.
I'm writing that play tonight. Yeah. I'm writing the play right now. It's going to be good. Strud's got a starring role in it.
I love the mock.
It looks good. I'm going to go right now and think of, well, Strud's, actually, you tell me what I should do. Just like you tell Connor McDavid, what should I do right now? Should I go watch
the rest
TV?
Of Brown's night look like?
Should I go write a poem?
I know exactly what you need to do. Go online and find a different shirt to wear.
Thanks, Brownie. We'll chat again real soon, pal. All right. The great Rob Brown. When we come back, Struds and I are going to take a lap, and then we have our Ask Us Anything segment as well. Lots of show here left on Got Your Back, presented by Sherwood Buick GMC.
If you own or operate a business, you know the value of a great employee. Just ask Shogger. Pathfinder is here to help you find your next star player to help take your business to the next level. Pathfinder can help with recruitment, career transition, leadership coaching. They truly have your whole team covered. Building you a championship caliber roster, find your team's path forward at pathfind.ca.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Time now to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape. Bid farewell to unwanted back hair solo in just 5 minutes with the fastest growing male grooming tool on the planet, named the superhero of razors. Let Backscape have your back and tame that wild mane. Visit backscape.com, that's BAKscape.com, and choose from a variety of packages delivered right to your door. Backscape, stay smooth. Gentlemen, Strutty, we need to talk about this trade that finally happened in the National Hockey League tonight.
Well, Craig Conroy, you know, his team is getting closer to a playoff spot, but he's got a vision, a plan, and that includes restocking, retooling, whatever you want to call it, his team. So Chris Tanev, right shot defenseman, coveted by many teams, moves over to the Dallas Stars for a second round pick, a conditional pick if the Stars make it to the Stanley Cup final, and then a young defenseman.
Artem Grushnikov was a second-round pick in 2021.
It sounds like he's a little bit of a version like Tanev. Not a ton of offense, but plays hard. PKs, apparently he's the number one PK guy on the AHL in Dallas, so he kind of fits well with what they have already offensively there. the Flames retain 50%. They also include the Devils retaining 50%. So Stars get a pretty cheap version of Tanev. But I really like this. It's clear what Conroy is trying to do. He is trying to add players that can help sooner than just draft picks. So yeah, he gets the draft pick. But just like when he traded away Toffoli or traded away Lindholm, he gets a player that can help either now or soon. So I think when you look at Tanev and maybe possibly Mark, so I'm not sure where that's at, he's going to want a player that can help now, but also something to help for the future. So I like the plan Craig Conroy has, Shager.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we knew it was going to happen. And I can't help but wonder if they were starting to get to the point where they were going to start sitting him out games. And that's tough.
Sure.
You know, you don't want to risk the assets. I know we probably wanted to hold out for a first round pick, but, you know, with the second and then essentially second here in Grishnikov, not a bad deal. A lot of Oilers fans wondered if Ken Holland would have strongly considered Tanev as an upgrade on Cody Ceci. And I'll say the same thing I did the other night. You know, if the Oilers were to do that deal and flip Ceci out and bring Tanev in, you could argue that it upgrades him in the moment, and it does, but then just really puts him in a pickle for next season as to who your top four on the blue line is going to be. Who do you replace Cody Ceci with? Now you're entering free agency trying to find a right shot defenseman to add to the mix. You don't have the obvious guy internally. So I believe that was somewhat in the way of the Oilers executing that deal that Oiler fans, I think a lot of them talked about and wanted. And then there was the, you know, whether or not he would have been willing to come here. So a couple of points there that are somewhat Oiler related, but Hanifin is going to be the one that gets the King's ransom, Struts. He's the better D-man, and that'll be where the big return is if they do that.
Yeah, he is. You know, and again, restocking for the future, but restocking now. A player I would expect them to also require a player that's playing now. Hanifin's having a great season. He'll be a great addition to any team. So Craig Conroy has a vision, and so far I feel like he's hit with the trades he's made. Some tough trades, but he's made the right place. Let's move on to the new league, the PWHL. They're not afraid to innovate, to change things up, and they release their playoff future, what they're going to do for the playoffs. So the top four teams make it. The top team gets to pick who they want to play. I love that. I think it's going to create some animosity, because I know that if I was getting picked, that means that, you know, you're kind of pissed off. Now, there could be some injuries in there. Maybe the second place team lose their best player and you maybe change your idea, but still, I think creates that animosity.
I think it's great.
It's good. And then the thing I love the most, though, is their draft picks. So as soon as a team's eliminated from the draft pick, the person with they'll get the first pick is the team that accumulates the most points after they're eliminated from the playoffs. I've brought this up many times, and it's a system that you see in Europe where, you know, you're fighting for the top of the league, but then the bottom teams are fighting to not be relegated. And I suggest in the NHL that you create some kind of formula that once X number of teams are out, the teams that are out of the playoffs now battle to win the first overall pick. It would do two things. One, it would keep more eyes on those bottom teams. And two, teams would not be selling assets to top teams. If they were, it'd be much more expensive than maybe what the prices we've seen, because they're trying to get the first overall pick if they're at that bottom. So I think that tanking would be out. It'd bring even more parity to the league. And Shager, I've been advocating this for a long time. So love the PWHL.
That's interesting. So once you're eliminated mathematically from postseason contention, the calculator starts on the number of points you get from there to the end of the season, and the team that gets the most, is it just points, league points, like just straight up, you know, how many points they get in the standings between when they're eliminated and when it ends?
In my version, you'd have to figure it out, because, you know, if one team is eliminated, let's just use January 15th. I know that's early. They'd be accumulating more. So I think you'd have to find a way that maybe it's points per game or, you know, something like that. But you wouldn't have teams see the bottom drop out as much. It would force teams to continue to try to, compete and not just completely sell the farm, because there's no guarantee you're getting that first overall pick.
The Neon Rider says, I like it for the PWHL. There's six teams and they need to try some different stuff like that. I agree. Chaos Never Died said, too gimmicky and stronger weak teams would dominate huge assets. We'll have to, let's let it play out. I kind of like it. I really do like the idea of picking your opponent. And that is so not traditional. And that's so, but just imagine the drama that day when those picks are made. So the regular season ends, and then it would be some sort of an event. It would be something where teams, you know, it would be televised. You pick, right? There'd be drama, and oh, can you believe it? And oh, and I think a lot of them would be obvious. But I think a lot of it, Strutty, I think it would be amazing drama. I would love to see them try it at least.
Yeah, animosity. The NHL will never do it. Never do it. But I love the idea that just you get to pick your poison, and then that team would be so pissed off. No one wants to be picked by the best team, especially when you're not the bottom team. So I think it'd be neat to see it in this league. I just can't see the NHL ever doing it.
All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by our good friends over at Backscape. When we come back, going to give away a hat, and then our Ask Us Anything segment. So real quick message here from Belvedere Golf and Country Club, and then lots more ahead. For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Oh yeah, baby. The Got Your Back swag is in the building. Full disclosure, a couple of my buddies, but still. Looks good with the Oilers silks, I would say. Kind of matches. Thanks to Keith and Grant for sending that along. Time to give away a hat, courtesy our friends at Kinprint. And of course, De Boer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center. Awesome spot to go. You want to improve your game, they can help you with that. You want to pick up some sharp hats, they can help you with that. And of course, the winner of our hat giveaway, head over to De Boer's. You can pick up your Got Your Back hat and $25 in store credit, gybpod.com. Going to make this an easy one for you. A lot of talk about Zach Hyman tonight reaching the 40-goal plateau. So what was the highest number of goals that Zach Hyman had before he was a member of the Edmonton Oilers? So before Hyman played for the Oilers, what was his best goal-scoring year? How many for that Leafs team that decided they didn't need him anymore? Holy smokes. How are they feeling about that, Struds?
That's a really hard sell, especially
on overdrive tomorrow.
No, they only have me on when they're losing. When the Oilers are losing, they never have me on. And when they're winning, they have me on. They're not very excited. But Zach Hyman, you know, to let a player like that go, let's just say it would have been $6 million a year to keep him. I mean, that's still a deal. It's such a deal. Mm. You look at Bertuzzi, what they gave him, or some of the other players they've brought recycled through there. My God.
What makes it worse is that he's exactly what they need right now.
Oh, same with Nazem Kadri.
Highest number of goals that Zach Hyman scored before being a member of the Edmonton Oilers. Go to gybpod.com. That is our website. And up in the top right, you can go to GYB merch and you can enter. And if you don't win, you'll see on that same page, you can pick a hat and buy one. And we'll try and get it to you here in the next few weeks. Okay, time for Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park. Renee Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty, aiming to help. Renee is all about amazing service for her client. Buying a house is a big deal. You need someone that you know you can trust, who you know is working 24/7 to either sell your home or help you find a new one. Call Renee at 780-994-0280. Steve, we had lots of great action on the YouTube stream tonight. Why don't you hop in here, buddy, and take us through some of the best of it. Just rock and roll, blast away, and rapid fire them at Struds.
I'll do my best. Yeah, still a lot of people going on about root beer. It's the best, it's the worst, it's the best, it's the worst. People are upset. They say, what do you get when you go to A&W? They say that's a no-brainer at A&W. But
the big cold mug, Struddy. The big cold mug, and it's so refreshing, and just,
Yeah. If you want my own shoes, I think if you have to have it that cold a mug, that just helps it go down easier. I don't think that's kind of on its own. So listen, I stand by my comments about root beer.
All right. Well, fair enough. Trevor Kennedy says, this is the best Oilers chat. I'm listening and I'm going to butcher this. I apologize. listening from Surabaya, Indonesia. So all the way from Indonesia, listener on the stream. We always love the international people
on
the stream.
There was another one somewhere on the stream tonight, Steve, too. I was going to mention it and I missed it. I'll take a quick look for it because we want to give them a shout out. But yeah, man, it's amazing. We have Got Your Back listeners all over the planet. We're worldwide.
All right. Kgill 97 says, Jeff Merrick said to keep an eye on Edmonton and Nashville. Do you guys have any insight on what players he might be talking about?
Yeah, I mean, the Oilers fans get excited about the idea that it's the goalie. It's not going to be. Highly doubt that. Carrier, the defenseman, I think would be the one that, you know, there's been lots of chatter about him. $2.5 million, he's a right shot. I'm not entirely convinced that that's the right way to go, though, Struds. I can't see Ken Holland being okay with his blue line getting smaller for the playoffs, and he's not a bigger player.
Yeah, and again, I would love to see a little bit more puck movement on that Nurse CeCe line. I just because I compare it to Vegas, right? You're always kind of comparing what you saw. CeCe's a very good NHL defenseman. So what's the cost to bring in a Carrier? And what does that cost, and how much do you get a bump in that moment? I think that's where I always look at it. You know, how much is that bump for the cost and acquisition cost? So I don't know. I think it's possible, but I don't think that's where they're heading.
Yeah. We'll see. They got together on one of the biggest deals at the deadline last year, but those are the names that we have heard. I mean, could they surprise you? And, you know, like Nashville has some other useful pieces, but, you know, they've
Trenton.
Yeah, for sure. For
Trenton,
sure.
Big body, physical, like that. Yeah. That'd be kind of maybe the guy, if, you know, a smaller type, not no disrespect to Trenton, but a smaller type deal.
Yeah. Tommy Novak's in the mix too, in the middle of the ice, but I'm not sure that that's the perfect fit either. Steve.
Okay. Paulie says, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but he said, Brown with 8.5 minutes, Ryan only 7 minutes, 41 seconds time on ice. Put that in perspective. Matt Rempe had 7 minutes, 42 seconds time on ice tonight. And not a single forward out of the four teams that played tonight had less than 10 minutes, other than, you know, those. So, he said, we need four lines.
Yeah. So what comes first, the minutes or maybe a line that the coach feels is, you know, going to be able to handle those kind of minutes. And it's tough. And this is something we've been talking about even before when Jay Woodcroft was here. They got to play four. I think this is an area that they'll probably address in the trade deadline. But those players I do believe that Derek Ryan, Connor Brown, and those guys on that fourth line are going to impact the playoffs because they have. Well, not so much Connor Brown. He hasn't been.
You think Ryan will be in the lineup at playoff time?
I think he'll. I don't know what that like. I think I have to talk about matchups. So what are you looking for at matchup time? You know, what are you bringing in? And if he's on your wing, there's maybe it looks different. They bring in a center of a fourth line. Maybe he slides to the wing. And he bumps Connor Brown out, you know, like, because he's a very smart player, very heady, can win faceoffs, can kill penalties. So what is the difference between him and Connor Brown? Probably number of goals this year.
Found it. Asian Mark Turner says, greetings from Thailand. So welcome to the podcast to Asian Mark Turner. Steve-O.
We touched on this briefly, but Quadi said, can we talk about Perry? He's too slow. To defensive and a defensive liability, not good. I know. Wait till playoffs. .. He says, "Are we concerned about the speed of Perry right now?"
Struds, I think that Oiler fan is going to get used to the fact that there are going to be some nights that Corey Perry looks like he's 38 years old, and there's going to be nights where maybe he doesn't. And tonight was a night where he didn't really have a lot in his legs and wasn't able to impact the game much. But we've seen on other nights he absolutely can. Like, I think Oilers fan is going to kind of have to get used to this with a player this age.
Yeah, so let's not be surprised by the speed. I think that everyone already said that. I think Corey's even, you know, said it. Like, he's not a burner, and it really never was. So his value is when you get into that ground-and-pound game, and they have to give him the opportunity to play in that style of game with those kind of guys that like to play that way. But I think your point's really well made that he's, you know, he's not going to have it every night. Like, most players don't. If he did, he'd be in the top six. But he's going to moonlight up and down. He's going to help your lineup in different ways. And look at some of the impact he had, you know, in previous games. So, you know, tonight he wasn't bad. I just don't think he had a big influence. But there are nights where everyone, not everyone has a big influence every night in this lineup.
Quickly, Riley, sorry, can't pronounce the last name, Witu, says Carrier has awesome results against elite competition. So going back to some of the fancy stats in that conversation about Nashville and a potential defenseman. So thanks for pointing that out for us.
Okay, this one's a personal one. It comes from my own Oilers chat with some buddies. We were talking at the end of the game. And someone said,
disregarding all these people on the stream with us tonight. No,
this is, and my friend said, hey, can you ask the guys about this tonight?
Okay.
So we were just talking about in the final minutes of the game, and we sort of said, why can't both teams just agree just to go to overtime and get a point? And my one buddy said, they kind of do. There was a study years ago, and he sent a link about how the scoring just absolutely plummets in the last 5 minutes of a game. But Strutty, I was just wondering your take, like if you're close to overtime and you know you need a point, and you know the other team needs a point, have you ever been in a situation where you sort of take the foot off the gas a little bit and play nice with each other?
First off, please keep your personal life out of this podcast. Yeah. That's something we do not do.
Sounds like podcast. A super neat chat.
Yeah, yeah.
Sharing studies and statistics. Wow. Yeah. Let's get your group out for a golf trip.
Yeah. For goodness sakes. You probably have some cribbage talk on there as well, board game talk, along with Schauger's buddies. No, but in all honesty, I think I wouldn't say you knowingly or you know, say, hey guys, let's stop trying to score. What happens is you reduce the risk in your game. You know, so you're always below or, you know, above the puck, or you take the puck and you put it deep, or you maybe dump it in when there isn't maybe a chance, it's a 50-50 chance. Instead, you dump it in. So I think you lower the risk in your game. When you lower the risk, there's less chances against. And if both teams do that, it kind of cruise through that last little while. So I wouldn't say that study is earth-shattering. You know, it's not like they solved the secrets of the universe there. That's just kind of what happens, right? Everyone, you get close to the end, you're like, okay, I'm reducing the risk. I don't want to be the guy that makes a mistake here that contributes to a goal against, and we lose that single point.
Makes sense.
I got to chime in here quick on David Sapina. He says, Rashog, I want to know when you're getting back to me on my term paper on board games. Fun fact, I finished my top 150 board games for an application to the new board game restaurant. So, guys, the night we started talking about Catan, and Strutty, you were ripping on me and the Dungeons & Dragons folks. So this is the email that I got from him. So this is his commitment level to the board game world. Okay, here we go. Here we go, boys. Look at the email that I got from David on board games. You're not supposed to be able to read it, but look at this. It just keeps going and keeps going.
Right.
And keeps going. Look at this.
Oh, my goodness.
On board games, we have some passionates. What's his last line? So it obviously doesn't take very much for me to write more about board games. Cordially, David Sapina. So, David, I love your passion. I appreciate it. I didn't slog my way through all 4,000 words. I apologize. I will not be getting back to you. But love you here on the podcast. Couple more, Steve, and we'll wrap.
Okay, we have talked about this in the past, but John Visk says, the most impactful player, fourth line player on the Oilers have had all years, Hamblin as center. Too many other forwards are not bringing it night in, night out. What are they waiting for? Call them up. I know, Strutty, what you're going to say. Who do you take out? But yeah, any new thoughts about, you know, do you think you give him another shot? Like, is it time to bring some more energy into
somebody
that
said bottom? Hamblin was banged up in the American League too. And as I sit here right now, I don't know the answer to that. And I probably should. So I apologize. I don't know, Strutz, I know you liked his game when he was here.
I did. I do like it. And I've liked James Hamblin for a long time. Like I said, I have a bit of a personal relationship with him. You know, you look at it, you know, the thing that he's challenged with is his size. Like that's just fact. It's his size, a bit of a challenge. I love the work ethic, the way he plays, but his size is a limiting factor for him as you move towards or into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last one, Steve-O.
Michael Bruni, a fun one here. He says, Schauger, today was the anniversary of Sid's golden goal. I saw you interviewed him post-game. What do you remember about that interview and those Olympics in general?
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually, when I go talk to broadcast students, I talk about that interview because it's actually one of my kind of career regrets, I would say. So Sid scores this golden goal and I'm working on that broadcast and I go out onto the ice, Struds. And it's like, okay, like, what are you asking Sidney Crosby in this moment? So the first question I asked him was just tell me about the goal. And he sort of like, man, it was crazy. It was just there and it went in or whatever. And then I said, Sid, what was it like sitting in the locker room after letting that lead slip away? Like, what was it like, you know, the stress of that moment? Because if you remember, they were winning and then, you know, and so I, a little bit of a tough, you know, a little bit of a fastball. And then I said to him, how do you think you've played? Because had this not been you that did this, because if you recall, part of the story was he wasn't producing a ton and there was some question about his play. I just asked him, how do you think you played? And he answered it great. And the PR guy was behind Sid and was like, wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up. And I kind of felt pressure in the moment. And so I listened to him and I wrapped it up. And the question that had to be asked in the moment was, you just scored one of the biggest goals in Canadian hockey history. Can you try and describe what you're feeling right now? I mean, that had to be asked, but I made the mistake of wrapping, you know, listening to the PR guy, wrapping up the interview. And so when you listen to that interview, it's like one softball and two fastballs. Right. And he just won the gold medal, you know, for Canada. Right. So it's actually a bit of a career regret. It's a, I would call it a mistake. And definitely a learning experience for me, Streds.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how you kind of evaluate yourself in that moment, because that's a huge moment, right? There's the people, I remember watching it. I remember being excited, seeing all those guys do it. Yeah. And there was a lot of pressure on that Canadian team to win it in that Olympics.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. By the way, some were super pissed for the question that I asked Matthias Ekholm about Evan Bouchard the other day. Did you see some of that online? I didn't even know it was happening. Jim Matheson, of all people, was like, well, you're getting blown up online, hey? Maddie, of all people. Well, I said, what? So I went and took a look. Oh, man, some people were so sour because I asked Ekholm about Bouchard bouncing back from making the bad mistake to scoring the huge goal and how impressive that is. Well, my goodness, Strudge, you think we'd spend an hour just crapping on Evan Bouchard on the show or something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a passionate fan base. And everything's got to be taken in context when you say something. Anyway.
And careful what you read. Careful what you read and share. How's that? Steve, that's it, buddy?
I mean, I have another fun one if you want to go. All right,
one more
it.
And then we'll get Struds to bed. He's falling asleep here.
Question for Struddy. Is it okay to wear a concert t-shirt of a band that you've never, or a concert that you've never attended? My son says it's fair game. I say no way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I actually like concert t-shirts, like the retro ones. I don't wear a lot. I used to have a Neil Diamond three-quarter length arm. I went to see him here in Edmonton a few years ago, and I wore that thing right through to the ground. There was nothing left to it.
Yeah, but you went to that show. That's the difference.
It feels weird to me. Like, someone sees you in the shirt, they're like, right on, how was the show? And you're going, yeah, I have no idea. I did not see them. I don't know.
Right.
But you can be a fan of the team. Like, you know, if you wear like a Denver Nuggets jersey because you like their players and you've never been to a game, you can't wear that. If you've never
been, Steve, you're talking about the ones that list the dates.
Yeah, yeah. Like a band tour, t-shirt is different than a specific concert t-shirt. You might need to do some more research before you.
You know what? I'd be indifferent. It really does. I'm not a big concert guy. So you want to wear a shirt that you didn't go to? Who cares? Just wear it. I don't know. Where can you buy those online? Can I buy one online?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. I would think. All right. Let's wrap this pig up, Strudy. Let's get to our gem of the night. What caught your fancy, big guy?
I think this is the second time in a row I'm going with the captain, Connor McDavid. When asked about he finally scored one, he said, yeah, there's no one to pass to back door, so I had to shoot it. Great line. Like, I love how he's kind of having fun with the group and his personality. And his group being the fans.
Run the clip, buddy. We've got the gem of the night. We might as well hear it.
You did decide to score, eh?
There was no one to pass to. I thought Hines would be on the backside, but quit on the play, I guess, so.
Quit on the play. I love that. He quit on the play. That's the funniest line. Like, just so you guys know, like when the coach says you quit on the play, like that's the biggest kick in the nuts you can give someone.
Yeah.
But for Connor to say that, like, and just kind of as a throwaway, it's a great line.
Yeah. He's been in good spirits about this. And I think it's the right way to handle it because the last thing he needs is reporters like us sitting there asking him questions about doing things different. Anytime McDavid goes 9-10 without scoring, we're going to ask the question. It's our job. We have to. But I like the fact that he's approached it with some humor and some good nature. And it looks good on him. And he's playing spectacular hockey right now and leading the way. Oilers with another big 2 points. Thanks, Strudge. Great job tonight, pal.
Yeah, fun one.
All right, Steve, much appreciated, my friend. Thanks to all of you for joining us on the YouTube and Twitter streams and for consuming us in podcast form, too. If you're in your car or driving around the next day, much appreciated. Big thanks to our title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. We'll catch you again real soon here on Got Your Back.